Good morning. Sunday, the 3rd of May, 2020. And this is the first Sunday of the month, so normally we would be having Holy Communion today. And so therefore, I would encourage you to go to the website, alancopper.com, click on services, and go to one of the services, Holy Communion, or indeed use the service from Easter Sunday. But there's two services there, and as I've said to you before, it would be a good time that if you're having a meal when you're already giving thanks for food, is to take the food at the same time as you're watching the communion. But remember that anything that we do when we take communion, it's not the service in itself, but we're receiving from Jesus. And all that we do, we receive from Jesus. And so I want to read two readings this morning. The first is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. And the second is a familiar psalm to all of us, which is Psalm 23. But John 10, most assured, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they have it, and that they may have it more abundantly." And then turning to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And I pray that by the reading of God's word will indeed bless you as you hear his word spoken. And so, Father God, I pray indeed for all who listen today or listen whenever they hear this recording, this sermon, that indeed, Lord God, you will minister to them, to their hearts, to their minds, that you will speak into their lives and touch them afresh by your Spirit and by the power of your word, which is a seed, and that seed will take root in their lives, as indeed it takes root in my life, in all our lives, to your praise and glory, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. I want to mainly talk about Psalm 23, but just to introduce, I suppose, is John 10, the first few verses, because Jesus says that he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then later on in verse 7, he says similar things. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. And this is the promise, that we are saved through Jesus, and Jesus alone, that we do not go in by any thief and robbers who try and get in some other way than by the gate, but that we come to him, we come to Jesus. And so with that in mind, and again, as it says, that the sheep hear his voice, and they know him. And so, are we sheep? Yes, we're sheep. But do we listen to his voice? Do we know him? Do we know Jesus? Or do we just give him lip service? But either way, let's look at the 23rd Psalm. Let's look and see what it says. I heard someone else speaking about this, and the psalm came alive to me in a new and a fresh way that I hadn't considered before. And I say that because even the way that I read the psalm, we read it so often as being something that's, we read it as something that is familiar, something that is normal, something that everybody knows, something that we just fly through. And I know as far as the psalm goes, it very much is a psalm that I can use to minister to people, and generally the older generation, because in times whenever we were able to visit, and you visit with people and you maybe read the Bible and you pray and you say, they would ask, would you read the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, and they'd immediately start in. They would say it along with you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And there, immediately, the way that I've said that is quoting from the King James Version, because that's the way the older generation would have learnt it. There weren't all these modern versions of the Bible that we have today. The version indeed that I'm using today is the New King James, and we may use in the church the New International Version. And there's many, 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 many different versions that you can read from. But the older generation of people would be familiar with the King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And it's familiar. Familiar because they would have learnt it, and learnt it in Sunday school perhaps. Something that we sometimes don't do. We maybe try to do in Sunday schools and have done. But there's not the same sense of the urgency or the need to learn in the new generations. Not just an aside, something that perhaps we can think about, because it is useful to know scripture. It is useful to be able to quote where it's from. And I'm going to come back to that in a sense, because of what I feel God wants me to share today. So just hold on to that thought of it's important to learn scripture. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I want to stop there, because do a little bit of English, because it's talking about the Lord as in being distant. And what I mean by that is the Lord, and I could maybe point up and say the Lord, in a sense pointing towards heaven. Him over there, him up there, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. It's something that David, the psalmist, is telling us, is that this is what he does for me. And so it's like an instruction. He makes me to lie down. He leads me aside. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. This is something that somebody does. And yes, he can do it for you too. And that, in a sense, is like an instruction. It's like whenever I preach, I'm telling you what I see in the Bible. I share stories, my stories, of the things that God has done for me and in me and through me. And it's distant in a sense, because it's not personal. Not maybe personal to me because they're my stories, but it's not personal to you who hear. It's not your story, because each of us has to have our own story of what God says to us and how he speaks to us. Because in the psalm it goes on and says this in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." He's changed. He's changed from talking about the Lord, who perhaps is distant, the Lord who is somewhere else, to talking about the Lord as in you. Changes the term. He's talking to the Lord now. He's no longer talking to us who are listening. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil." And then, of course, it ends by saying, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So, yes, I'm being picky in the psalm. And so you're going to have to go and read it yourself. And encourage you to do that. Look at the 23rd Psalm. What's happening here is that David, the psalmist, goes from talking about God in a distance to then talking personal. The Lord was not simply his shepherd, but he knew him because he spoke to him, he talked to him. And as I've encouraged you and I've shared, I talk to him because he walks with me, as he does indeed walks with all of us every day. But I have an understanding of who he is because he is my God, my Abba, my Daddy, Jesus, my brother, my friend, the Holy Spirit who lives in me and indwells me. Because I don't talk about him from afar, but I know that he's in my heart. And I hope that you all know that he's in your heart. Because as it said there, in John 10, in verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." And so the thing is that we are saved by entering in by the door, which is Jesus. We enter through him. He is our shepherd. But when we enter in through him, we're saved. And that term saved means to be saved from the evil of this world. It means to move from death into life. It means to have eternal life. We know in John chapter 3 where Nicodemus came to meet Jesus, and Jesus told him, "You have to be born again. You've got to," and that's what it means to be saved. You've got to be born again. You can't just be of this life. You've got to be born spiritually. And so Jesus says that here in John 10. But with that comes, with salvation, with being saved, with being born again, what comes with that is a knowing, is a personal relationship with God. It's no longer just from afar off, "Oh God, you are mighty and I bow down, I'm scared to look at your face." And yes, there is an awe and a majesty of God, but we never do away with that. He's God and we're not. But it's no longer God who's distant and afar off, but he's close up and personal. And so in the Psalm 23, David talks about this personal God that he knows. That he knows, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In other words, you provide for me, you give me things to encourage me.
You never expect me to walk on my own. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Thank you that I can see you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And yes, even in the midst of the times when we're in trouble, he doesn't leave us, but indeed he comes closer. And he prepares a meal for us in the presence of his enemies. And in many ways, this makes me think about the Lord's Prayer. For we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God always, Jesus always comes to us and gives us daily bread. In whatever circumstances we're in, he's there, willing to give it. And indeed, as it's appropriate that this is the first Sunday of the month whenever we celebrate Holy Communion, because we come to receive the bread. But isn't it sad in so many ways that we pray the Lord's Prayer so often as being daily bread, and yet we celebrate the receiving of the bread and the wine just once a month? Or as used to be, whenever I was able to meet with the seniors on the second Wednesday of the month, at least it was maybe twice a month. But yet we pray, give us each day our daily bread. That perhaps is something we need to think about, meditate on, and just ask the Lord about. And maybe too, whenever we think of having meals, that we consider the food that we eat as being daily bread, but consider it always as being coming from the Lord, and receive it as being coming from him. There are so many things, in a sense, that we do naturally that we take for granted. Perhaps if we changed the way that we looked at them and we saw Jesus as being part of them, our situation would be so much better. Our circumstances would be better, because we would not be self-dependent, but we would be Christ-dependent. Again, just something to think about. But in the psalm, David's talking about knowing his shepherd and knowing that he was with him. And as I said, that Jesus said there in John 10:1-10, is that he knows his sheep and his sheep know his voice. And so in being saved, that he talks about there in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. We come to him and we come in and out through him. But when we come in and out through him, it's because we know him. We know who he is. He's not only the shepherd of the sheep, he's my shepherd. He's not only the Lord God Almighty, he's my God. He's not only the Savior of the world, he's my Savior. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. A hymn that we're familiar with. Jesus is my friend. He's not afar off. He's not a distant God. He's close and he's personal. Because I've come to him, I've submitted my life to him, and he saved me. And yes, I've got to live in this life. He may have saved me, he may have saved me for eternity. What I meant to say was, he saved me for heaven, but eternity is right now. But while I'm right now, I still have to live here. And so in the middle of all the things that are going on, he still feeds me daily with daily bread. He still walks with me in all the things that I do. But I want to be aware of that. But being aware of that and aware of him is a choice, my choice. I choose to turn to him. I choose to turn to the Father and seek his face. I choose to listen to the urgings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit within my belly, within my mind, within my heart. I just get a sense of where he wants me to go. And I choose to follow. Why? Because I've made him my Lord and he knows what's best. And so even, as I've said before, as I preach, I say the things that I believe he puts on my heart. And I go with what he gives me. I don't plan and overly plan on what to say. As I say, I looked up the readings. I thought I was going to be totally speaking on Psalm 23 this morning. But I read the other readings that are set out in the lectionary on the Church of Ireland website. And again, you can go look those up. You can go look those up online and you'll see there's essentially three readings. Psalm 23, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. And the other one that I didn't read was 1 Peter 2, verses 19 to 25. And that's appropriate to what I'm talking about as well. But just decided, felt the urge to stick to John 10 and Psalm 23. But as I say those things, it's not to make me sound great, but rather it's to teach you that that's what I do. I try my best to listen to God and his leading. And so I encourage you to do exactly the same. I encourage you to hear his voice. I encourage you to listen to him. I encourage you to follow him and to do what he says. But you'll only be able to do that if you know him. You'll only be able to do that if you spend time talking to him and with him and allow him to lead you to good pasture. In terms of the sheep, that was going out to grass. And indeed, as I stand here outside, I'm looking at a field that has a lot of grass in it. And I know then that the cattle or the sheep will be released into this field and it'll be good pasture for them. But what's good pasture for us as Christians, as people? Well, part of the good pasture is what I've read, the Bible. The Bible is good pasture because as we read it and we understand it and we pray about it, we meditate on it, it changes us and it speaks to us. But it can only do that if you're reading it. You know, and I'd said earlier about learning the scriptures like Psalm 23, and it's good to learn it. And the reason why it's good to learn it is because it's about him, it's about Jesus. And when we learn it, we know him. But again, it's only when we meditate on it, whenever we go over it again and again and again, whenever we visit it regularly. And as I said in the Lord's Prayer, it's give us each day our daily bread. It's not give us our bread for today and I'll see you next week. But it's every day. Because we're in a relationship with God and he wants to hear from us every day. But he never leaves us, which is so wonderful. He is so patient, so loving, so kind, so forgiving, so understanding. And that is, I'm just so glad. Because I would be lost if he wasn't like that. We all would. But he just is always there. And indeed, he accepts us because when we're saved, we become the righteousness of God. And so our standing before God is not based on whether we visit with him every day or not. It's based on who we are in Christ. And so even though I may have allowed things to slip, but for whatever reasons, I can come straight back to God and go, hello, love you, Lord. And he just accepts me as if I've only been there a minute ago, because he accepts me in his righteousness. I have right standing before God because of Jesus. Jesus took all my sin upon the cross, just as he took all your sin. And he gave us his righteousness. So believe it and receive it. And indeed know that as sheep, you have a master who loves you. But he's not simply a master, a lord, and he is those things. But he's a friend. And get to know him. Get to know the Lord is my shepherd. But also get to know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Get to realize that even though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me. And I say, Lord, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. My cup runs over. John 10:10 finishes with, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. My cup runs over, and the life of Jesus is abundant in my life. It runs over. I have it abundantly. It's not in small measure. He wants to bless us all, and indeed he is blessing us all. If we will receive it and submit to him as Lord and Savior. The reason why I say that is because unfortunately when we don't, the thief comes but to steal and to kill and destroy. And the only reason that he can kill and steal and destroy is because we let him. Because we submit to him rather than submit to God. And that again is choice. And so I encourage you to choose as a sheep to hear the voice of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus. I encourage you to walk with him and meditate on his word. Not just Psalm 23 and John 10, but the whole Bible. And to fellowship with people as much as possible. Yes, in these times that can be difficult. But on the internet there is so much to hear and to learn. And we can learn also from the Bible. But call people. Ring them up and talk to them and fellowship with them. And fellowship with those who you know will share with you the things of God. And just talk about how God is encouraging them. That you can be built up and encouraged in that conversation. Because then you will have the abundance. You will experience the abundance. And you'll not have things stolen from you or robbed or killed. Because you'll be focusing on him, the Lord God, who isn't distant and a far way off, but rather he's close by you, for you know him. You hear his voice. You listen to his voice. And you follow his guidance and his leading in whatever it is he tells you to do. Whatever it is, maybe he just tells you, listen. Sit with me, rest on me, just let me love you, receive my love. I don't actually want you to do anything, I just want you to be with me, I want to hang out with you, I want to talk with you, and I want to hear what you have to say to me, because we bless him when we talk to him, just to say, Lord, I love you, blesses him. To make the declaration, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, blesses God. Because we're identifying everything that we have in him, and that blesses him. And so I encourage you just to talk to your God, to talk to Jesus, to talk to your Savior and your Lord, and to be encouraged, and to be at peace. And to rest in him. For Jesus Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.